And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We're coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. I'm sure everybody's out there in the cold as they're getting to their jobs or as they're doing their jobs out there in the cold and just turning into dispatches, hoping that we'll warm your hearts in this frigid middle of winter bullshit we're dealing with in the northern hemisphere. Or if you're in the southern hemisphere listening, I'm sure you're in the blistering hot sun turning into dispatches just for a little taste of the New York frigid air. And I just want to say that we're not going to bring any of that to you this episode. This episode, we're going to be talking about the pain and the suffering. I know you're looking for like an uplifting moment, and to be fair, I think we're going to get there. I think we're going to get you an uplifting moment somewhere in this show, but we're going to be talking about the pain and the suffering, and I brought my good friend Danielle from the great band Out of System Transfer onto the show today to talk about misogyny and patriarchy and the rearing of its brutal head in this disgusting country that we live in. And so we're going to talk about, you know, this we're going to get uncomfortable for a second, confront some of the male bullshit, and try to speak to this. And hopefully, through all of that, women listening can feel more empowered and more emboldened, and men listening can feel more empowered and more emboldened to confront the patriarchy and everything that we do. And maybe there's our comfort and solace and empowerment. Maybe at the end, we will get there. I think we will. In some ways, it sort of parallels, actually, an Out of System Transfer song. And again, Danielle is from this band, Out of System Transfer. We're going to listen to some music from her band, Out of System Transfer, today. And in some way, we parallel Out of System a little bit. They sing really heavy songs about very heavy issues, and even dark issues. But I feel like when you see Out of System, you feel uplifted. And I think we're going to get there today. And I think Danielle is going to take us there. I'm probably going to get bummed out. I'm probably going to bum you out, and Danielle is going to lift you up. I don't know if that's fucked up or like more, you know, women doing all the heavy lifting in this fucked up society, but that is what's probably going to happen. So we're going to talk about misogyny. We're going to talk about patriarchy. We're going to talk about how it affects our everyday lives. We're going to talk about how it affects the people around us. We're going to talk about how the assumptions that we have and the language that we use, they can either embolden people around us and help them be who they want to be, who they see themselves as trying to become, or they can beat that out of people. And it goes both ways, and how we can just try to challenge those assumptions and try to challenge ourselves and the people around us to be better at inspiring and emboldening the world that we want to come into being. And that means making some uncomfortable decisions about some things that we've been doing a lot of, just because we haven't really thought about them and be more conscious and about them. And I think those of you out there be like, "Oh, this is just Joey and Dan. They're gonna be talking about a bunch of PC bullshit. I don't want to hear it." Yeah, maybe you don't. That might be true. Maybe we're talking about some PC quote bullshit unquote. But I think that we are getting to a very persuasive point about how the assumptions around gender and the actions and the words that we use, they have a real impact, a real life impact on the people around us. And simply, maybe not so simply, but by striving to change our assumptions and striving to change the way we speak to each other and interact with each other in a way that may not seem on one level to be radical, can have a very strong impact on the people around us. And we're also going to be talking about some more of the heavy misogyny too. So we're going to be trying to cover both things. Look, Danielle is going to say this way better than I am. For people who are listening to the show, who've listened to the show for a long time, you know I'm a fucking moron. And I bring guests on here who are articulate and thoughtful because they can hold down the brilliant part of this and the inspiring part of this. I'm more here as like the talking comic or something. I don't even know what I am anymore. But Danielle, I promise you, is going to be inspiring and thought provoking, and is going to take you to a positive place, despite all of my attempts to derail her into my bullshit. I want to say, you know, while I have this conversation with Danielle, something that's going through my mind. My band Skullcaster was just in Toronto on tour. And we were staying at a house with some friends, and they were very kind, and I really appreciated that. Stinkbox was the name of the band we were staying with. Thank you, Stinkbox. I really appreciate y'all having us. And we were staying there, and at night we were talking about misogyny and patriarchy and some other stuff before we went to sleep. And I was talking to this person, Phoenix, and Phoenix was an incredibly powerful, thought-provoking woman who gave up her room to let us sleep there that night. She slept in her fucking truck while we stayed in her room. It was unbelievable. I've never had that situation happen before. Thank you, Phoenix. But one thing Phoenix said to me and stuck with me, and I feel like I want to make T-shirts of it and get tattooed on my forehead, and something that I'm thinking about in this conversation, especially when we're talking about softer side of misogyny and like the less conscious misogynists around us who just say fucked up shit. Phoenix said this to me. It's easier to call people out than call people in. And I feel like in this conversation, these words from this person, Phoenix, in Toronto, are echoing in my head. And wanting to figure out not just how to smash misogynists, but in order to smash those tiny misogynists who live in all of our heads, we need to figure out how to call people in to deal with this shit. And I think this episode is an attempt to try to figure out how to do that a little bit better. And Danielle's going to help us confront some of this stuff and get neck deep into some of the ways misogyny and patriarchy asserts themselves in our punk scene and in our lives, and how we can deal with it. That is what the show is about today. And on the second half, we are also going to be talking about Danielle's incredible band, Out of System Transfer. They're going to be going on tour in January, touring all around the south of the United States and in the West. And you should check them out. They're going to be putting out a couple of brand new songs that are incredible. And they're also going to be putting out an EP in March. And again, that band is Out of System Transfer. You can go to their website at outofsystemtransfer.com. They also have a Bandcamp page and a Facebook page and an Instagram page. And they are wonderful musicians making conscious, thought-provoking songs and uplifting us every time I see them play. So very, very proud that they're putting out some new music and touring. And we're going to listen to a song in a minute. Before we get to that, I want to say thank you to Real Punk Radio, realpunkradio.com, for airing Dispatches every Wednesday night. You can always get Dispatches at dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. We have a website. We have a merch page. We have a donation page if you're feeling that way. The subscription section. Everything's on our website. Please go to dispatchesfromtheunderground.com and check that out. If you're into listening to the radio, we are on the radio at realpunkradio.com. They have incredible programming. We are over there as well. And happy to be part of that family. And there's a ton of stuff to get down with. There's a lot of great shows coming up. And I believe Out of System Transfer will be playing here in New York right before they go on their tour. So check that out. So let's get to this discussion with Danielle. Thank you, Danielle, for taking time out of your busy schedule here in the doldrums of winter and braving the weather and coming over to the studio to do this interview with us. I always appreciate her incredible, thoughtful, and uplifting perspective. And hopefully she'll be willing to do more shows with us, and I really appreciate it. So thank you very much, Danielle. Thank you very much for the music you make in Out of System Transfer. Let's listen to a tune right now. We're going to listen to Out of System Transfer doing a cover of a Crass song, Do They Owe Us a Living, featuring Danielle on the vocals. So here it is. Here's Do They Owe Us a Living by Out of System Transfer. And then we're going to get to the discussion with Danielle. Get down.
One, two. Of course they fucking do. Fuck with me minded, there's something I wanna say. Fast recognition and the way they treat us today. At school we give you shit, throw you in a pit. We try and try and try to get out, but you can't go. Say fuck you out and you're a prime example. Well, crime must be, this just a sample. What they've done to you and me, do they owe us a living? Of course they do, of course they do. They owe us a living, of course they do, of course they do. They owe us a living, of course they fucking. people think. So tough with TV, and it just don't wanna think. They'll use you as a target for demands and for advice. If you will not wear it, they'll say you're full of lies. Do they owe us a living? Of course they do, of course they do. They owe us a living. Of course they do, of course they do. They owe us a living. Of course they fucking do.
All right, let's get neck deep in talking about some misogyny here in the middle of America. I guess we're not in the middle. I guess we're
not in real America.
We're on the fringes of some beast. All right, we are going to talk, you know, obviously anyone listening to this show, and I feel like anyone in the punk scene and anyone in the political scene is very conscious of where in misogyny and patriarchy in everyday life. But, you know, it just feels like we're getting swallowed up by it, like with Trump. And also, like, Trump on the negative side and with the Me Too movement on the positive side, like, it's so much more in our face in a good and bad way, the effects of patriarchy and misogyny. Obviously, Trump has unleashed this, like, vast wave of disgusting pieces of shit to, like, just let loose and say all the horrible things they want to say to women and be more upfront about them. And on the positive side, the Me Too movement has called it out and made and carved out with pain in every inch, like fucking blood spilled in every inch, that they have carved out this space where they're pushing back the patriarchy and making it a good place for people to talk about this very horrible and painful issue that happens every day of sexual assault in this country. So, but we're going to talk about sexism and misogyny and patriarchy and how it comes out in everyday life a little bit on this show today. Obviously, in the Trump era, in the Me Too era, which is weird that it's the same era, but I guess that goes hand in hand. I'm here with Danielle. What up?
Hello.
How's it going?
Hey, you know, pretty good. Hanging out in Ridgewood on a Sunday.
Yeah, just talking about misogyny.
Hanging out, talking about sexism.
The bros to bros, Joey Steele. Like, you know, things need to be. Which is a good point Danielle brought up before we started, is that we should say that we are a couple of white people.
Mm-hmm. I'm only here talking about my own experiences. I'm a white Jewish woman from New York City. I'm a queer bisexual person. I'm someone who passes as cisgender and, you know, deals with the with treatment by society that goes along with that, whether or not, you know, my personal feelings about, you know, my own gender and where I fit into that are not really something we're talking about today, but I just, you know, I wanted to say that I'm just going to be talking about my own stuff and how it is for me, and I don't want to say that it's like that for anybody else. And I know, you know, women's experiences are vast and varied, and we, you know, I hope that there's room for all of us to bring everything to the table.
I appreciate that. I also want to say that I'm probably going to say some ignorant shit on this show, and hopefully it's less ignorant after talking to Danielle and she's calling me out for being the bros, the douchey
shut
bros.
Shut this guy down.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that this is hopefully a space where we can talk about these things.
Yeah.
If people feel uncomfortable about anything I say, they can email Danielle. No, they can message me at Facebook at Dispatch from the Underground, or on Instagram at Joey Steele NYC. And, you know, I hope people listening to this feel comfortable enough to confront me. Your significant other confronts me endlessly about my ignorance. So I hope everyone else feels like, you know, that's just par for the course. Like, come at Joey Steele for saying this dumb bro shit and let's do this.
We're here to call you out,
yeah,
man.
If we can't call out people who want to be called out, and we got to do all this calling out of actual
right,
like, horrible shit.
No, you're good practice.
Yeah.
You're good,
it's good
practice.
Yeah, softer. No, but I mean, we joke about it, but it is, you know, it's likely that we're going to say some things that people are uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
On either side. Yeah. And that's, to me, that's where progress happens. So if we say something that people are uncomfortable with, just holler and we'll maybe hopefully bring you on and we can talk about it more.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the harsh shit. Let's talk about the hard, cause we're going to go from talking about the hard sexism and misogyny that you confront all the time.
Yeah.
But also we're going to talk about some of the softer stuff, especially that we see in the scene, and even from people who are well-intentioned.
Yeah. And no, it's a lot of well-intentions, a lot of good intentions, a lot of, I think that's the worst. Like, it's almost easier. This is kind of some like kind of why I wanted to talk about. Kind of why I wanted to talk about like all of these different ways that women and people experience sexism and experience misogyny. Because the harder stuff is almost for me like easier to deal with because you can just get so angry. Mm. And I'm someone who's not really good in the moment. You know, people say horrible shit to me and I freeze up like it's hard to deal with. But, you know, I've growing up playing music, you know, you get a lot of like, oh, is your boyfriend playing the show? Like, are you carrying that in for someone? Geez. Do you need help with that? Like, I get a lot of that. I used to get more, but I do feel like, honestly, it's getting better now. Maybe it's just that I'm getting older, but people are more aware of the fact that we exist. Mm.
I think that there's an element of truth. You know, obviously, I see it all the time, and honestly, I fight the urge sometimes. You know, like there, especially playing hardcore. There's a thing that oh, this is probably a bunch of bros.
Right.
It's not a good feeling,
no.
But it's a reality that most hardcore music is made by fat white dudes. So when you see like a younger woman, you're like, oh, they're probably hanging out.
Right.
And it's for the most part like probably some truth to that, but that's again fucked up situation.
Yeah.
But the assumption, like the process of assumptions, is the disgusting part. Like obviously the reality is fucked up too, but. Any of us who we should constantly be fighting that urge to like, oh, just assume that this person, you know, and then also we should be fighting the urge to like play with all bro bands too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, now what I do, how I fight against that, you know, because, you know, I'm a musician and I tour a lot. And part of how I fight against that, when people in towns that I don't know the folks, or I've never been there before, but booking the tour and they say, do you have anyone you want to play with? And I've gotten to the point where I feel comfortable saying, I don't want to play on a bill with all men. I don't want to be, because this happens all the time. It's better in New York City. It's better in, like, the cities in general. But we play a lot of, like, small bars. But it's worse. It's the worst at bars. House shows are better.
Yeah.
But a lot of them, I am the only non-cisgender man on stage. Four bands. They couldn't find a single woman. And it, you know, it boggles my mind, and I think it's laziness, and I think you know, it's just people booking their friends. And you look at, like, I was looking, you know, as you know, when you tour, it's a lot of spreadsheets. Being in a punk band is like a way more spreadsheets than I ever thought there would ever be in my entire goddamn life.
There are a lot of Excel spreadsheets.
So I'm like looking down my list of contacts, and I'm like, that's a dude, that's a dude, that's a dude, that's a dude. And we just have men in positions of power in this entire, even in like, you know, in this like leftist DIY, cool, whatever, political scene. And it's all dudes. Mm-hmm. So
it's
even
all white
just,
dudes.
It's all white. Well, it's a lot of white dudes. It's it's not all.
Yeah.
It's a lot of white dudes.
Yeah.
So part. Like, I've started pushing back against that, and it's risky. Like, the first time I said that, I was, like, holding my breath. Mm. Like, is this guy gonna be like, fuck this chick?
Yeah.
Have
you ever gotten that from people?
I've, like, said that, and then they never get back to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be just because they're already lazy, and they've never met a female musician before, so they're just like, I can't help this person.
Yeah, I don't know. And honestly, if they said, look, all my friends are guys, everyone that plays here is guys, I guess I would be like, fine. I have never, ever, like, experienced that. Like, there's always got to be someone.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something that I think it's something that comes with like growing up as a girl. You don't feel like you can ask for what you want. Mm. And I feel it's something that I've struggled. It's hard to be assertive. And I'm generally like a pretty assertive person in my life.
Yeah, pretty assertive, Danielle. Yeah.
But I do find when I'm dealing with people I don't know, it's hard for me to not just roll over, especially when you're trying to get someone to book your band.
Yeah.
That's like so, like, you're so vulnerable in that moment. Mm. you just sent them, like, maybe that's just how it is for me, but I feel like I'm, like, ripping my heart out and presenting it to these people on a platter and being like, hello, here's my art, please, please, please do this thing so that I can continue to be a working artist. And, you know, so you're already, they're already in a position of power over you, and to say,
for
like,
sure, a disturbing position of power.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to be like, and here's this one more thing that I want. And this is so you know. This is where I am. Yeah. This is where I'm standing. So it's something that's like, and it's something that I feel like I shouldn't have to ask for, but I do.
You know, yeah. I think that I do want to go back to this point you said earlier. I don't want to derail the conversation, so I want to go back to it later. I just want to say that I want to talk about, like, confronting extreme sexism and the sense of how you feel like it's difficult and
yeah.
going back to that. But this is a good point too, and I think that a lot of people can identify with this because it's more subtle, mm-hmm. and it's not necessary. Look, these people aren't. This has to do with what we were saying. The assumptions everyone makes that it's okay to play with whoever, and whoever's
right.
going to be on the bill is fine, and they'll just get by.
Oh well, you know, I just want to book the best musicians. Like, it's all, I don't care what gender you are. I don't
yeah.
care what color you are. I just want to book, like, the best people. It's like, then why are all the best people white dudes?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Also, content doesn't mean anything. So, like, maybe they're new.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe there's a new younger woman in your scene who's just started making music, and it's
and
not.
We should empower her.
Yeah.
We should give her a stage.
And it's not just because she's new. It's also because she's not the same shit that
yeah.
we've been hearing over and over
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe the content is inspiring and they haven't quite gotten all of the cobweb, you know, the dust off their the things.
Well, I don't think you need to say, like, oh, well, we'll go someone who's, like, not quite, you know, they're not quite good, not quite the best. There's plenty of, you know, I think that's, like, kind of like some soft sexism saying, like, mm-hmm. oh, well, you know, we're assuming that because they're a woman, they're not as, like, experienced or whatever. Like, I've played with so many, like, badass, kick-ass, awesome,
amazing
female
right.
musicians and trans musicians. And, you know, I think it's just laziness. I think it's like clickiness and people who are, you know, bookers being like, well, I'm just comfortable with these guys. I know they'll get someone out, you know? Like,
I definitely think it's laziness. I definitely think it's clickiness. But you were saying that there are these backward places that there's just not a lot of women playing music.
Yeah.
So then these bookers should be going out and finding women who
yeah.
have aspirations to be making music
yeah.
and giving them space to do it. And
yeah.
if they aren't quite as sophisticated musicians yet, because they haven't ever been given a space to be musicians,
right.
then they should be making that space. I'm not trying to say that women aren't great musicians. I'm just saying, like, then they should be making the space for people to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
And I understand, I agree that could have come off the wrong way. But obviously, I think there are incredible musicians out there who are women. I think
yeah.
that all of them are way better than me. And I'm constantly being given space to be an artist. But they're even the most ridiculously bad ones probably better than what I'm doing. But it also, like, this is what a promoter should be doing.
Oh, yeah.
This is their
fucking
job.
They should be going out and finding local artists
yes.
who will
that
promote
is,
it.
That is their job.
Yeah.
And these promoters think their job is to get venues and book big bands. That's not your job. Your job is to cultivate and promote incredible events that have new and interesting artists as well as touring acts. And the laziness is just disgusting. And that laziness is just not laziness. It comes from the fact that they make assumptions that music should be made by men.
Yeah.
And that sexism is okay in their scenes. And that women are the girlfriends of musicians of the bands. Like, all
yeah.
of these assumptions are just, like, compounding each other.
Yeah. I mean, and you see a lot, and I get frustrated too, because I think women who aren't musicians put a lot of unpaid and uncompensated labor into these scenes. Like, I always see women making flyers. Like, every band of dudes that I know, or not everyone, obviously, but I know a lot of, you know, male musicians and their girlfriends will always make flyers for them, will make art for their band or whatever.
A lot of art. Mm-hmm.
A lot of women making art. And I can't do that. Like, I am not a visual art person at all. I love hiring my friends to make art for me, and I always want to compensate them. I don't have a ton to compensate with, but I, you know, I always offer, like, something, and it frustrates me because I feel like, you know, I need a girlfriend. Like, I have a partner, but I want like a girlfriend to be like, you know, my art person. No, not really. I don't want to exploit anybody. I'm sorry.
The urge is there for sure.
But frustrating because like, oh, well, if, you know, like we're there, we're doing stuff, but we're invisible.
Yeah.
And we're not, and exactly. These women are not compensated for their work. Maybe, I mean, I'm sure like they all like doing art and are happy to do it. I don't want to be like, oh, you poor women being forced to like do this stuff for your mean boyfriends. Like, I think all these people are, you know, they have agency.
Mm-hmm.
But it frustrates me because I feel like we get shunted off to the side a little bit, and like, you know, when I was like in high school,
out of the limelight too, especially.
Yeah, and out of the limelight, yeah, nobody's exactly. I mean sometimes people do that, but nobody's gonna be like, you know, that show tonight was really good, but you know what, I liked that flyer.
Yeah
you know,
I say that a lot. this is true. Oh, this is true very much. And I feel like if y'all out there listening, like, look at the art that's made by the albums you like and see who's making it. I think that you will be surprised at how many women, incredible women artists there are, and especially in punk.
Yeah.
But also in other scenes, who incredible female artists who are making art from all male bands.
Yeah.
And this is true for some of my bands, and I've been lucky to work with some incredible female artists. And we seek them out too. We want to work with women.
But you like pay them, I assume.
Yeah, we pay them. Now we do. We didn't pay them. Sorry, Susie. We didn't pay Susie for incredible art.
You owe Susie.
Yeah, we owe Susie, and Susie, the check is almost certainly not coming in the mail. But you know, like now that we're in a position that like we know we can actually sell some of this stuff, we can pay people. You know, earlier on it was tougher.
Right.
But yeah, we have an incredible artist, Caitlin Chen, who does a lot of art for Punk Island. And she does a lot of art for All Torn Up. She does a lot of art for Skullcaster, and she's doing a new rad T-shirt for my band Cop Out.
Sweet.
And she's an incredible artist, and we pay her. And this other artist around, every artist should be getting money for, even though it's not what they deserve. It's less than they deserve.
It's always, well, we're all getting less than we deserve.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. But there is this weird thing, and and these are again back to these assumptions that we make because
men
deserve the limelight. Well, that's
and
what women
I wanted to talk about. That like I feel like, you know, you're allowed to be like loud, like you're taught when you're, you know, you're like, oh, boys will be boys, rough and tumble. You're allowed to be like loud and grungy and dirty and like out there and like screamy and stuff, and women, I think, are more socialized in our society, are generally more socialized to be like, oh, you're like nice and you're quiet and you sit and you do your drawing. And, you know, when you play music, it's like pretty and nice. And like, you know, I'm fairly lucky in that I grew up in a family where I was encouraged to play music of all kinds. You know, my dad's like a folk rock type guy, and always, you know, bought me my first electric guitar, put me in guitar lessons when I was like much younger. So I feel like, you know, but I do feel like you look around at the rest of my family and the rest of like society and stuff, and it's a lot of like men playing drums and bass and guitar, and you know, my sister and I played clarinet along all the other stuff, and she played flute and
I love
piano.
Clarinet.
I love clarinet. I love playing clarinet. Like, yeah. But you know, when you look at music,
mm-hmm.
you look at the upper levels, and it's all men.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I got to be a more sophisticated, more advanced player, I was surrounded by men. My teacher was a man.
Interesting.
I studied at a pretty high level and dealt with a lot. There's a lot of sexism in classical music that kind of drove me out of it, honestly. And I kind of found more of a refuge in like punk and stuff, because I would get a lot of commentary on like how I should wear my hair and dress and that sort of thing. Yeah, I'm, you know, I'm like 15, 16 years old, playing these like recitals and stuff.
Oh my God.
My teacher would be like, you have to do this and that, and they're going to judge you on how you look. And the guys like never had to deal. I mean, you know, maybe if you were like a far out there, you know, rebellious type dude and you had long hair, maybe they would tell you wear it back or cut it or something, but it was never, it was never anything like that. Like,
it wasn't every woman who's there.
It wasn't every woman, you know, and you get like judged.
Well, it still takes its toll.
It does. And it just builds up and builds up and builds up. And you're like, I'm so tired of people telling me what to do and how to do it. And I think you see that in punk. You see that everywhere. And people definitely like, you know, I'm someone who right now I don't have many visible tattoos or piercings. I've, you know, pretty natural hair. And even in punk, people like will kind of look at us and be like, so what's your deal?
Yeah,
like,
well, you belong here.
Yeah. Like you don't have like a face tattoo and a pit bull on a chain. Like,
no offense to
no offense to my friends who do have face tattoos and pit bulls on chains.
I love it.
But you know,
like 20% of all dispatches projects. I love your face tattoos, by the way. They're amazing.
No, I have nothing against it, but I don't like being judged on either side.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look the way I wanna look.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You know, I hope people are listening into this conversation and not only reflecting on how they've seen this, but also reflecting on their own behavior and going through and just like thinking of things that they've done to subtly discourage the women around them from being artists, because they've done them. No one is beyond this.
No one. You're all. I'm pointing my finger at all of you.
Yeah, and I think I hope that we can like suss out some of the ways that this is gone through our lives. And obviously I'll say one, and even this is a conscious friend who's very conscious, maybe even more conscious than me, which seems hard to believe because it's like, oh Joey, you're so amazing. I know, just chill.
I don't know, man.
But he's very, very conscious and a good person, and I respect him deeply, especially on this front. And we were playing a show the other day and they're like, where's the sound guy?
Oh.
And I'm like, well, actually, she's right there.
Right.
And she's killing it.
Right.
And it was like, oh, he never had even, like, just never thought.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually don't know if he'd ever been, leveled out by a sound woman. And I think a lot of times we do think sound guy, but it's fucked, you know, a sound person. It's
right.
Sound, you know, and I know some people are like, oh, that's just the words. But yeah. But these are the little things.
Right.
That
no, words mean something. Like, words are constructs, but, like, everything's a construct, you know? Cars are constructs, but when you get hit by a car, it fucking hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And words are constructs, and, you know, society's a construct, and gender is a construct. But it's a reality, too, that we all deal with. And that's, like, a great point about, like, the sound guy thing. And I'm guilty of that, too. Like, I will always just say sound guy. And then when there's a female sound person, I had a female sound person at a show recently, and she was so good. Like, we have to be so much better just to make it. Like,
also,
just
it's
to,
fucked up because I never want a sound guy because they're all terrible. They're almost all terrible. And a sound woman, I'm so happy.
Yeah,
please.
Right. I'm like, oh, you're going to try. Yeah. Like, you care.
You might actually care about how I feel about this mix. Like,
right.
Almost certainly you're not a sound guy.
Right.
Fucking
and playing with Out of System Transfer, like, we're a fucking nightmare. Like, when we were in Spain.
Sound-wise, not
sound-wise. Personality-wise, I think we're great.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't know us, we've got, like, a banjolet. Which is a horrible instrument. It's what I play. We've got, you know, trombone. We've got acoustic guitar. We don't have drums. So we get up there and we've got these like weird little instruments with all these like different little plugs. And I'm like leveling myself out and everything. And these dudes are. I had this one guy in Spain. He like looked at me and looked at my instrument and points at it and goes, this thing, I don't like this thing.
Yeah, good. Thank you for your commentary.
And I was like, all right, Spanish sound guy. Like, whatever.
This is exactly the point. Like, all of these things, they seem innocuous. They seem like they don't matter. They seem like they're not that big of a deal. So we brush them aside. And I know a lot of people are talking about pronouns. And I know it's a lot of people listening to this show. And in the punk scene, like, they get frustrated because they get checked on their pronoun usage. And they're like, what? Ooh, he, she, it, they, them. I don't give a fuck. You're like, yeah, well, fuck all them.
You should give a fuck.
You should, because that stuff doesn't... Look, we have so little control over anything in our lives. And the fact that you get to control your name and your own basic, like, the way you're basically identified, that's the fucking least of it. So at least get that right, motherfucker. And I struggle with it, too, because I'm an older millennial or whatever the fuck I am. And it's tough to get through our heads, but it's the responsibility we have for wanting there to be a better world. That's it. That's the bottom line.
And, like, nobody is saying you have to be perfect. I have never met a single trans person or anybody who, if you're like actually trying, that's all people care about.
Yeah.
You know, if you fuck up and then you say, I'm sorry, and then you correct yourself.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, you just have to try.
And that's what we're talking about. And also, you know, look, I'm a piece of shit, bro. I say dude way too much. And it's not okay. You know, these are the little things that dig away at the people around you.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be a teacher, and I would always, you know, I'd be like, boys. And then so many teachers would be like, okay, come on, guys, let's go.
Right.
But I would always be like, come on, girls, let's go. And all the boys would be like, hey, why'd you say that? I'd be like, well, you didn't say up. You weren't upset yesterday when I called you all guys, let's go.
Right.
So what's the problem now?
I think guys is actually an interesting linguistic phenomenon.
Oh, wow.
Where, like, so a guy is a dude, is a male person. Mm-hmm. But, like, we also use guys to refer to both mixed gender and all gender groups. And, like, this is something that I think is kind of, like, I don't know. I struggle with not, like, calling everybody guys. But I will also call, like, groups of women guy. I'd be like, hey, guys, what's up?
Right.
When it's all women. But I try, you know, I'm trying not to do that because I understand, like, people don't like that. And, like, it's not about me and, like, what I'm comfortable with because I'm addressing these other people. And,
exactly.
You know, we're all just kind of trying to, like, live our lives in a way that we're not, like, constantly being pounded down by the relentless forces of patriarchy and capitalism that are doing that. Like, anyway, like, we could try to be respectful of each other and try to carve out a little oasis of non-shittiness in the world, maybe sometime.
Danielle, it's frustrating to me when we do a 20-minute segment and you boil the entire thing down to like a perfect 1-minute clip, because it makes me seem like my job here is completely superfluous.
No, there's
useless.
So much more to talk about.
That was
about,
so perfect.
And
I really feel like there's nothing left to talk about.
Oh, no, we have so much.
Yeah, so Dispatches is over. Thank you all for listening in to my bro podcast.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
I think that the point is the way that we are constantly, unconsciously pounding away at everyone around us not only crushes them as their identity into these patterns that we and these assumptions, but it also crushes their power to break those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like a constant pounding away every day. And we see it very clearly in the incredible female artists who have decided that instead of being musicians, maybe they are incredible musicians. I think a lot of them are.
Yeah.
That they are going to make album covers for these other
musicians. I think, like, we need visual artists.
Yeah.
And if you are a badass visual artist, that's, like, incredible. And I'm, like, super, super duper jealous of you. I don't want to say that it's, like, less than or anything than being a musician. Like, I think if you want to be an artist, you should be a visual artist and you should fucking, you know, kick ass at that. I just, like, was talking about
right.
how I, you know, I think it's frustrating.
It's uneven.
That they're not. It's uneven.
And
yeah.
There's a reason it's uneven.
Yeah.
Either women are better at being visual artists and men are better at being musicians, or there's some fucked up social thing going on here. And there's obviously some fucked up social thing going on here.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like confronting these assumptions
and,
you know, empowering and doing it in a way that, like, if you know the person is good around you that's making these assumptions, walking them forward and helping them deal with them. And if you know they're fucked up, calling them out and getting them back on track.
Yeah.
And that's
and
hard
I think
to do.
That's an important thing that you're saying, that it, I think a lot of what we do puts the onus on women to educate the people around. I mean, I'm happy to come on this podcast and talk to you about it, obviously. But we're given a lot of the responsibility to educate and to change things for ourselves and make things better for us. Like, I was talking with some of the other like female musicians in my scene, in my genre, that I'm friends with, and we were kind of talking about how we deal with men, with scary men, and with sexism when we're on tour. Mm. And a friend of my friend Zoe said, well, the guys in my band are really scary, so I just try to, like, stay around them, which is, like, you know, like
good and bad.
Good and bad.
Yeah.
And I don't think the guys in her band are scary, but I can understand why other people would. they're just my buddies now.
Yeah.
And I wrote a song about brutally murdering a rapist. And I feel like after we play the song, people are more deferential to me. Mm. And like, why should we have to do this? Why should we feel like we have to surround ourselves with men to protect ourselves? Why do we feel like, you know, I've got like a kind of stabby, pointy guy on my keychain.
Right,
I'm pointing it right here at Joey. We're going to have a demonstration afterwards.
There's also a knife in that couch if you need one.
Oh,
so.
Sweet. Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. I'm armed. Yeah. But why should I have to arm myself? Why should I have to do that? And, you know, I got this thing for my keychain. Like, I bike and walk around New York City by myself all the time. But, you know, when we went on our first long tour, I got this because I knew it would be a lot of, you know, walking in and out of like parking lots and stuff. And like, why? But this is the whole thing. Why are we putting it on ourselves? Why don't we ask more from the men around us? Why? Like, and it's hard. It's really hard.
Or just expect more.
Or expect
yeah,
more.
Not even have to ask. Yeah.
Why don't we expect more? Yeah. Like, why do we say, you know, we're taught our whole lives, like, you know, don't wear your hair in a ponytail because someone can grab it. Have you ever heard that?
Holy fuck.
Women are told when
Jesus
you go out,
Christ.
Don't wear your hair in a ponytail because it can make you a victim.
I've never heard that.
Some scummy man could grab
God.
It and yank you around with it.
Wow.
You're taught, you know... this is everyday life.
Wow.
This is something that I don't, you know, you don't even think about. It's just ingrained in your psyche.
Fuck.
You know, you cross the street. And this is like something that like racism definitely plays into. Like women are taught to be scared of black men,
yeah. You
know? And I hear a lot of black dudes say like, if I'm walking down the street behind a woman, sometimes she'll like cross it. And that makes me feel bad. It makes me feel like women are expecting me to be this like, this rapist because I'm this like big black dude. And, you know, obviously that's not always true.
Right. But there is an element of like needing to make, if any man is following a woman
and
they're a close distance, you should be aware of it and step to the side, because
absolutely.
Whatever race, it's like we have a society that's rampant sexual assault, so like, you know, step to the side, ponytail
right.
or not, motherfucker. Yeah,
but you know, I won't get on a subway car that just has a guy in it, even if he's probably harmless.
Yeah.
I won't walk down the same street as a man. I won't even take the subway by myself late at night. Yeah, because like I feel more comfortable either on my bike where I'm just moving, or shelling out. Like I read something that women spend way more on transportation than men on average. Because we're taught, like, you're not safe by yourself on the subway at night, so take a cab.
Right,
you know?
And that's probably true. I mean, I don't know, maybe the ponytail thing is true, too. And this is the whole point, is that we have this.
Maybe it's all true, but men should just stop doing this shit, and we shouldn't put it all on women. Or, like, you know, we're taught, like, I was always taught growing up in New York City, like, you never, ever get in an unmarked cab. Like if you're hailing a cab on the street,
Don't get a livery cab. Or
you know,
whatever.
don't get any in a cab that doesn't have the
medallion,
like the medallion on it. And I was out with some of my guy friends. This was like actually a couple years ago, but I'm like always going to remember it because you always have. There's always like that moment that a man goes, "Oh," and they understand that they never had to deal with it. Like we were trying to take a cab somewhere, and you know we're like trying to hail it, and an unmarked, like no medallion cab pulled over, and I was like, we can't take this, wave the guy on.
Yeah.
And my friend was like, why?
No, well, it's good.
Why not? Yeah. Get in the cab. Yeah. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like even if I'm with all you guys, like there's no fucking way I'm getting in that. Like you always need to be able to report them. Not that like the cops will do anything, but like
at least there's a ramification for their job,
right?
You know, whatever,
right?
You know, and so many the point is along these lines, like dudes, men, whatever out there, everybody should just take responsibility for everybody else and not just fucking like think about themselves, but think about the people around them,
right.
whether it be race or gender or whatever. Just make sure you're thinking about the people around you and don't wait to be asked to do it. You know.
Yeah. And just to just thinking about our different experiences, like
or this is like a good example of like the aha moment. Like Jesse, my partner and I, who's also an out of system transfer, and Jesse is an ally. Jesse is a feminist, you know. We were watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, and there's an episode where a woman is like driving down the street, and she yells at Larry David, "Hey, smile!" And Jesse goes, "If someone did that to me, I would fucking go ballistic. I would kick their ass." And I was like, "That happens to me once a week, like several times a month." You know, I work, my day job is I work as a dog walker, so it's very public facing. I'm out there on the street every day. And about once a week, some man goes, "Hey, smile." And it's so fucking demeaning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's fucked up. Yeah, I hope everybody goes ballistic, and I hope we're all there to defend them when they do.
You know, I said like, I deal with that all the time. That happens to me. Like regularly, and he was like, "Oh my god!"
There it is. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap this up here. We are gonna start the next segment. I do want to talk about this this point about like how to feel more comfortable confronting fucked up situations, because you know, we talked a lot about what might be considered like the softer side of the patriarchy that people confront every day, and how we can embolden each other to deal with it, and how we can like challenge those assumptions. But I think there's another side that we just should touch on for a minute.
Okay.
But let's take a break. Let's listen to a song, and we'll get right back with a little more discussion, and then we'll talk about out-of-system transfer.
Great.
Get down. All right, let's take a break for a second to listen to a tune. Here's a tune by an incredible band, Troll 2, not the movie. This is Troll 2, the band. They're from the Boston area in Massachusetts, and I had the pleasure of playing with them recently with my band Cop Out. I believe we played with them in New Jersey at the Rabbit's Hole. Anyway, the show was fantastic, and largely it was fantastic because Troll 2 absolutely blew my mind. And in this last segment, Danielle talks about Zoe, who is one of the singers in Troll 2. And Zoe wrote a song about confronting some fucked up pieces of shit and giving them what they deserve. And that's what this song is. This is the song Danielle was talking about. So here's Means and Motive by Troll 2 from the Boston area. Get down.
What you deserve is a breaking on a bedpost. What you deserve is shameful epithets. You deserve to live inside the void we all look into. To think that I once thought there was no fate worse than death. She came to me, calling after midnight, sobbing in the bathtub with still her sweater done. As I watched the water run from salmon into scarlet, I knew right then and there we would not rest till this war is won. We packed the car and we headed down to Danvers. I had the wheel, her small frame shot inside. I'll erase evidence like you, but erase accusations. Why is justice for others so often self-denied? A fault of mine is giving liars second chances. A fault of yours is extirpating with delight. So I've added it all up. I have planned it out exactly. I can spare your pride, so I will only take your life. We got to town, we hit up the local packy. Swap cash for bleach and rope, we drunk in with the tart. Then we smoked spliffs with chaplips in the parking lot of Donkeys. We watched you punch the clock, walk out slowly to your car. Take a break to the back of his head, repeat till his eyes got red. He thought he could get away and hurt her. He don't know what's up my sleeve, he can't clean a slate by me. He don't know what I've learned to be with what I've learned to do. Scrub, it's a humble occupation. The stain of my sins I will take into my grave. But graves are only beds if you erase the stone heads. Erasing your body's waste, the last bit I'll ever make.
that's how you spell justice. M-U-R-T-E-R-E-S-S. That's how you spell justice. M-U-R-T-E-R-E-S-S. That's how you spell justice. R-A-P-I-S-T. That's how you spell deceased. Take a brick to the back of his head. Repeat till his eyes got red. He thought he could get away. He don't know what's up my sleeve. He can't clean his sleep. Why me? He don't know what I've learned to be with what I've learned to get away. Get away with murder. Yes, I can't get away. So listen closely if there's something on your conscience. Go watch your back. Keep your lamplights wick so well. For we are in the darkness. We are weighing each transgression, watching with means and motive to drag you back to hell. I got means and motive, and I'll drag you back to hell.
We're going to talk about Out of System Transfer, which is Danielle's incredible band, and this new album and tour they're going on. But before we get to that, I want to go back to this point that we sort of started with in the beginning of the last segment, just talk for 2 minutes, because Danielle and I were talking about like all these assumptions people have and challenging them, but we also and how sexism sort of creeps into our everyday behavior even though we don't intend it to, and how we can change that and how we can confront that. But we also talked a little bit, very very briefly, about how bad people who are openly misogynistic, or at least, you know, consciously patriarchal, or, you know, consciously macho and things like that, can come out and say these really fucked up things to women. And that can, and, you know, to me, as a guy seeing Danielle, I see a very powerful woman.
Aww.
Who is conscious and has a knife on her belt. It's not a knife. and you know, is like willing to confront the patriarchy with her entire being. And like hearing that you can even get stymied or stifled by these like brutal misogynists who can come out and say like fucked up shit. I don't even know what to say to that. Like, I just don't know, like, all these other young women who are maybe even much less conscious and much less aware and much less empowered, like, how do they respond? Like, I don't know. Can we talk about this for a second? Am I fucked up to think these thoughts? I don't know.
I don't know. I think that's really nice of you to say all those things, but, oh, I think you're so powerful, like, because I don't feel like that. Yeah. I'm, like, this small person. And sometimes I feel like in my mind I'm like this like huge 6'2" dude, and why aren't people treating me like I'm terrifying? You know, I should be so scary. So like sometimes I feel like that, and sometimes I feel very very vulnerable. Mm. And I think that's a natural human response when we're confronted with like adversity, or something that's like especially like scary or threatening to ourselves. It's like natural to like freeze up and not say anything. And I don't really know how to deal with it except, you know, to practice, I guess, to like talk to people like you, to talk to our friends, and to be aware of it. 'Cause I'm, you know, these are like deep seated, beliefs and feelings that people have. And sometimes you can't just like, or I mean, you can do whatever you want, but sometimes it doesn't work to just call them out in the middle of it. I don't know. Like,
No, for sure. It's definitely hard.
It's hard.
It's not just like consciously. It's not just like politically hard.
Yeah. It's emotionally hard.
It's also physically frightening.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I've had to confront Nazis before, and you know, I'm not a small dude, I'm not a big dude, but I'm not like, I can handle myself,
right.
But also like in a situation where I'm pretty sure I'm gonna get fucked up, I'm like, I don't want to do this. You know, I do it because I've been beaten up and I know I'll probably live, but you know, to be in a situation where it's like, oh, who knows what's gonna happen, you know, they could have a gun, they could have a knife,
right,
buddies, you know,
and that's the thing, like you know, I feel like first of all, I feel like if this person is really a misogynist and if they say something fucked up or act like fucked up to me or whatever, and I say something, are they really going to go after me or are they going to go after the guys in my band?
Right.
You know, because a lot of these dudes are like, I don't hit women, which also is like, you know, fuck you. Hit me. I'll live. Like, I'm fine. I'll be fine. So I don't know. It's all we can do is, I guess, try to empower each other, know that we have each other's backs, you know, take some self-defense classes. There are some great places that you can, you know, there are like women-centered self-defense classes. And
that's a good point. Yeah. That's good advice. Yeah, that's
but
right.
Like, you know, that's still like putting it on ourselves. So I don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's not like this whole thing of like freezing up like in the moment. It's so hard to deal with, and it's something that I really struggle with myself. And every, you know, and recently I feel like I've started to get better at it and to call people out, but I'm always in kind of my safe space. So I don't know if like,
yeah, no there's no easy
it's
answer.
Hard.
Yes, for sure.
But you're not alone. Anybody who feels like that, like you're, you know, if you're calling out racism or sexism or transphobia or anything, like some fucked up shit happens to you, and I'm sorry that shit is happening to you, but I want you to know that we're out there and you're not alone. And I hope that we can have each other's backs and just try to do the best we can. And every time, maybe, you know, it'll get a little easier.
Amen. I think that's the point is also like when you do see women calling people out, everybody who is around that person calling them out should rally behind them.
Hell
deeply,
yeah.
Because that not only affects that person who's calling them out, but it also affects everybody else to see what they're supposed to
and
do.
And if a man gets on my side, that's like the best thing you can do, because like a lot of these dudes, they won't listen to women. I can't do anything besides like,
right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So if I'm like, hey, you can't say that shit, you can't act like that, you can't do like that, all they're gonna hear is mar, 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 mar.
Right.
But you know, if
Charlie Brown's
yeah. But if a man did, you know, if you did it, Joey, like they might listen.
Yeah.
Which is fucked up. Quick, but again,
quick fucked up story about that one. Just quick, because we're running out of time. But I got a funny one. So I was at a show. It was crazy packed. It was in Brooklyn, and this woman was walking up the stairs, and this guy, this big motherfucker, was behind her, and was saying something. And she turned around to him and said, "Hey, what the fuck did you say?" And he's like, he was hitting on her. I don't remember exactly what she said. He said, but you know, they got up and she fucking called him out and was like, not going to have it.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, what the fuck are you going to do now? Who's got your back? And there was maybe 150 people standing around me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, fuck. I didn't know who she was.
Right.
And I'm like, I got her back. Fuck. And he pulled out a knife.
Oh, shit.
And he put it at my throat. And he's
oh,
like,
my
now
God.
You got her back? I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought we were talking about a math content. I got her back on the math section.
Right.
I like try to de-escalate it with humor. It did not work.
No.
But it got it away from my neck. And she,
I call that de-escalation.
She walked away, luckily, which was a very good move on her part, because if it was going to get any crazier, like he was huge. He would have definitely fucked me up.
Yeah.
And some crazy drunk person, I was trying to like joke it down.
Mm-hmm.
Some crazy drunk fucking dude who had like raver candy on took a bottle and like he's in a movie, took a bottle and smashed it on the ground.
Oh no.
And screamed like he was but the bottle, obviously it's not a cartoon.
Right.
The bottle broke in his hand and split his
my
hand
God.
Wide open. So he's gushing blood.
Oh fuck.
So the guy's laughing at my joke and laughing at this dude, and he's like, fuck. Put away his knife and left.
Right.
And so it worked, but I immediately was like, yo, that kid is going to bleed out and die. So I like ran into the other room and be like, we need super glue.
You need
glue.
An EMT, yeah.
No, I was like, we need an EMT and a microphone because this kid is hilarious. So, you know, it doesn't always have to be, someone has to take a stand. Even when you know you're going to lose, even when you're pretty sure you're going to get stabbed, you can't just back the fuck away. And even if it's a total stranger, you have a moral responsibility to do the right thing.
Hell yeah, that's badass.
It wasn't bad. It was not bad. It was the opposite of fucking terrifying and awful. And I'm really glad I didn't get stabbed. But at the time, I was like, oh.
That's what you call the preemptive stab, you know?
Yeah. Not was the least badass thing I've ever done. I immediately was like, fuck, I got her back. God damn it. I don't want to do this.
That's cool. That's, you know, that's what you got to do. We got to have each other's backs.
When
we
you don't want to.
There, even when you don't want to.
Even when you're cowardice being like, ah, fuck.
And maybe somebody will split their hand open with a bottle, I think is the moral of the story.
Totally. Hang out with ravers, stupid ravers. All right. All right. Let's talk about out of system transfer for a second.
Let's do
in
it.
The midst of all this empowerment and violence, let's talk about out of system transfer.
Well, that's y'all- what we're all about. Empower. No, we are. We are. We're all about empowerment, and we're kind of all about violence.
I do it again and again and again
and again and again and again. So, you know, we've been playing out for a few years, been touring for a few years. We just recorded our third studio recording. It's our second EP. It's a 6-song EP. We recorded it with Brian Speaker at Speaker Sonic Studios right here in Ridgewood. So we're going to be going out on an acoustic duo tour this winter, Jesse and I, and we'll be joined by our friend Meredith Moon. She's a wonderful banjo player from Toronto, so she'll be coming down with us into Florida and across a little bit of Texas, and then we'll be going out to the West Coast, just the two of us, and back across America. So, you know, we're really looking forward to it. It's our third cross-country tour, and the EP, we're going to have probably a single to sell on the tour. The single will be out, two songs for the tour, and then we'll have the full EP out hopefully in March.
And this is the third national tour, and you guys are going everywhere. I mean, this is like a fucking full coverage tour.
Well, we're not going up into like the Midwest and stuff because it's going to be like January and February.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
fuck
yeah.
That. But everywhere warm-ish, yeah, you know. We'll be returning to a lot of places, but we'll also be going to a few places for the first time. And some of them will be cold and some will be warm, but it's all going to be really nice.
So like a lot of south,
a lot of south,
east, southwest, Texas.
A lot of Texas.
Okay, cool.
Texas is big.
So folks in the south should be aware and fucking know that Outer System is coming to you.
We're coming for you.
This new record, you said you recorded the new record, the new EP is out in March, but you're going to have a single
yeah.
out with you on the January tour.
Yeah, probably a cassette.
Okay. And, but probably like downloadable too.
And it'll probably come with a download code and you know, you can get it on our Bandcamp and everything. So, this may surprise you, but we've been feeling a lot of dread and horror recently.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the theme of a lot of the songs that we have on this album, is dread and rage and horror and kind of getting all these feelings out and getting them out. So, you know, it's a lot of weird shit, stuff that's very, we've got some almost like science fiction-y
really?
Stuff. Yeah, yeah. Some of the tales of dread and horror are, you know, more like going into the unknown,
apocalyptic.
It's all apocalyptic.
I mean, that song Last Dogs in Alaska, that sounds lonely.
It is.
Yeah, it's
sad.
Alaska already only has 7 people, and then the only one.
Well,
dog
it's actually there. That's like probably my favorite song on the album, and it's about being the last sled dog team left in Alaska and traveling with your dogs. And the idea is that climate change has made it so that you can't really get anywhere. Everything is either like flooding or like you can't use the roads. So you have to like try to stay on the ice. But the ice is all melting too. And the idea is like you're traveling around and all these people are like, oh my God, are those dogs? I haven't seen dogs in years, you know? So it's sad. It's sad and it's lonely and it's about things ending. And that's a lot of our stuff. We're always a band that's really interested in, you know, liminal spaces. And I'm being on the edges of society and being forced out of places because, you know, that's kind of how we feel, you know, personally. As people who are, you know, misfits and people who are on the edge, kind of on the edges of things, and not comfortable in, you know, normal society or whatever. So it's kind of continuing an exploration of that and thinking about like where because you know things are shit. Things are total fucking shit.
You don't have to convince
you know?
Me.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I agree. Yeah, things are awful.
So it's a lot of about, you know, the end things, but we're not. We're a little sad, but we're about empowering people. We're about empowering people to fight against it. We feel like, you know, as political people, as, you know, as you say conscious or whatever, like we have a duty to empower people and to make that, you know, as musicians, like, that's what I bring. That's how I've been, how I've felt is, like, I'm not really like an organizer, and what I can do is I can empower people and excite people through my music.
And anybody who has been to an Out of System Transfer show, I feel like, is aware, is very, very aware of this. I think it comes through in all of your music too. There, the themes might be really heavy and daunting, and the content might be really heavy and daunting, but that you never ever approach anything in a way that makes you feel like you can't deal with it. Like, you feel better after leaving an Out of System Transfer show.
That's good. That's good to hear. I'm glad you feel like that. Yeah, that's the idea.
I think everybody feels like that for sure. You all have such a great attitude on stage.
Thank you.
It comes through in all the music. And anybody who goes to these shows in January, while we're talking about these daunting issues that I think we can all very much relate to, you're going to come to the show and get a deeper understanding of it, but you're also going to leave knowing that you're better off to deal with it.
Yeah, we want you to know that you're not alone, that we're, you know, we have your back, and we're here for you to listen to and to empower you and to help you fight, that, you know, we don't want people to feel like, you know, you can always, there's always something more. You're always going to feel crushed down by patriarchy and by heterosexism and by capitalism and racism and all this shit. And like, the world can be a horrible place, but we have this oasis in playing this music. Yeah. And we want you to feel like hyped up and like you can, you know, go out and punch a Nazi in the face, you know.
Or a misogynist.
Or a misogynist.
Keep it all. Yeah, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
we'll tie
everything back together, yeah, put a little bow on it. So next time someone says a sexist thing to you at a show, just go at them.
Hope you're at an Out of System show, and then they fuck you. You got the whole band to get your back.
Hell yeah.
All right, so January, this tour in the South. Largely in the South and a little bit elsewhere, but it's 2 months, right? So you guys are getting like all the fuck around.
Yeah, we'll be going out to California, going up to the Bay Area, and that's kind of our linchpin is the Bay Area. Nice. Where we've got a ton of friends and family. Cool. So we'll turn around there and head back down, and we're gonna hit some national parks, which will be nice. You know, Jesse and I like to do some like camping and stuff, so We're excited to buy our National Parks Pass and support.
Nice. It's the 201st or, I don't know, some 101st. It's the 101st, like, fucking National Parks anniversary or something.
Oh, I had no idea.
I think last year was the 100th anniversary. I don't know. My wife is outside. She's going to fucking punch me in the face for not knowing that number. That's not, no one please mention that to my wife that I forgot the number. And also, it wouldn't be 200. That's fucking crazy. But anyway. All right. Out of System Transfer, what is the Bandcamp page that people can find out this new tunes and get the new album when it comes out in March?
It'll all be out on outofsystemtransfer.bandcamp.com. You can also find us at outofsystemtransfer.com.
Oh, shit. Fancy.
Right?
Nice.
Right?
Got the middleman.
I know. And out of, you know, facebook.com/outofsystemtransfer. We're on Instagram, and that's it.
Cool. So y'all will see Danielle and Jesse out on the road very soon. Till then, I hope y'all keep listening.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Joey. This was a blast.
Thank you for coming on and doing this.
You're
shit.
You're welcome.
I appreciate all the music y'all make.
Thank you so much.
All right. Get down. All right. Well, earlier in the episode, we played a song with Out of System Transfer covering Do They Owe Us a Living? And so I thought it would make sense to put another version of Do They Owe Us a Living on this podcast. I did this version with a band called Crazy Baldhead, which is Agent J from the Slackers and a bunch of other amazing bands. He did this version with his band Crazy Baldhead and put it out and asked me to do the vocals on it with a bunch of other incredible musicians doing background vocals. I think Maddie Ruthless from the Far East and Jay and Sturgeon from Leftover Crack are all doing background vocals on me singing this Crass song, Do They Owe Us a Living. Hopefully it stands up next to the other incredible version of Do They Owe Us a Living, but I did put it much later in the episode in case my vocals don't quite hold a par next to Danielle's. But here it is. Here's Do They Owe Us a Living by Crazy Baldhead featuring Joey Steele on vocals. Get down.
The way we treat today. This-
All right, that's the end of the episode. Thank you all for tuning in. Huge thank you to Danielle and Autism Transfer, not only for making the incredible music they make, but also being willing to come on this show and talk about it and talk about misogyny and help us try to make this world a better place. So thank you very much, Autism Transfer and Danielle. Don't forget, autismtransfer.com has all their music. Their brand new album will be up in March, and they have two incredible singles that are going to be out in the very near future. So make sure you please check that shit out at autosystemtransfer.com. And again, they have a Bandcamp page and a Facebook and Instagram. So if you dug what Danielle was saying, if you dug the music that we played earlier in the show, make sure you go check all that shit out and you follow them and check out them on this tour they're doing this whole month and next month, January and February 2019. Now it's 2019. I got to get that in my fucking head. Anyway, so thank you very much, Danielle. Anybody else who dug what we're doing here and the goal of this show to try and be more conscious and get down deep into the underground shit and confront this mainstream nonsense, please make sure you go to dispatchestheunderground.com. Check out the archive section for old shows. There is a subscription section for new shows. There's a merch section if you're looking to buy some shit and support the show. But there's also a donation page if you're into that kind of stuff. Anyway, there's a whole myriad of ways for you getting involved, and we appreciate everyone tuning in. This show will continue to be free, although sporadically up on our website. Please hit the subscription button to make sure you are getting down with every new episode we are posting, because they aren't super regular. It's about every 2 weeks that we're trying to put them up, but they aren't super, super regular. Anyway, keep up with us, and hopefully we'll make this world a better place together. Till then, get down.